And now your speaker, Ron Martin.
I'm really thankful for the opportunity of being here this morning, of having this opportunity to come and study more of God's Word with you. I walked into one of the classes this morning and one of the young men in that class said, "Are you the new preacher?" And I told him, "No, I'm just substituting." I'm reminded about being a substitute. I believe one of the hardest jobs in education is to be a substitute teacher. And I remember very well the story that Brother Julian told one time about being a substitute. He said that he had gone out to a rural congregation and that he was just filling in for someone at this rural congregation. Well, on one side, a window pane had been broken out, and they had taken some cardboard and put in to fill up to take the place of that window pane. And Brother Julian was explaining in his introductory remarks that I'm just about like that cardboard. I'm just filling in till you get something for the real thing. And so he got up and preached, and as everyone was leaving, one of the ladies decided that she would try to make him feel really at home. And she commented, "Brother Julian, you're a real pain." So this morning, I hope that I can be a reasonable substitute without being a pain. I'm thankful for this congregation and for what it's meant to me, because I'm a part of this congregation. I was sitting here thinking that I know just about everybody in this auditorium. And that's good. That's the way it should be. As we prepare for a new man to come and be the preacher of this congregation, we want to be sure that that man is dedicated in doing God's work, that he's ready to work hard, and that he's not ashamed to stand up and proclaim the good news of the gospel of Christ. That's what we want here. That's our dedication to the congregation. And I'm glad today to tell you that one of our young men from this congregation is substituting for me for the place that I've been for 18 years. I was glad that Sid Stanton agreed to go and preach for me at the Harmony Church where I would have been normally today. Now, in this body today, I want to study with you a great lesson. This lesson is designed for the purpose of helping us in being stronger Christians. I believe everyone here who is a part of the body of Christ will benefit from our study together today. At the very beginning of our study, I want to take you to the night of Jesus' betrayal. Jesus prepared a place called the upper room that he would meet and observe the Feast of the Passover. This Feast of the Passover observed the time when the death angel passed over the land of Egypt. It consisted of a young lamb without spot, without blemish. It consisted of the unleavened bread, the fruit of the vine, and bitter herbs. As they were eating of this, we find in Matthew the 26th chapter and verse 26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. For I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" Now here, Jesus gave these disciples what is a part of our Lord's Supper. He gave them the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. This is a lasting memorial to all the disciples of Christ, that wherever Christians should meet, they should have this as a memorial to themselves. Now, in observing the Lord's Supper, we partake of this unleavened bread. This represents to us the body of Jesus Christ. I noticed over our audience just a few moments ago, as we partook of the Lord's Supper, this unleavened bread, there was a quietness, a reverence over this whole auditorium, because as we partook of this memorial, our minds went back to the cross of Christ. And all of us relived again the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. As our minds went back to the cross, we pictured, as it were, Jesus Christ, our Savior, hanging upon that cross, suffering, dying for our sins. Out of Jesus' mouth we heard Him say to His mother, "Behold thy son." To the apostle whom Jesus loved, "Behold thy mother." We heard Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We heard Jesus cry, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That is to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" We heard Jesus have all the urges. "I thirst." Pain going through His body. He says, "It is finished. Father, unto thy hands I commend my spirit." Jesus, our Savior, not deserving to die, but giving of His life for our sins. And upon this beautiful first day of the week, the body of Christ comes together to let our minds go back to that cross and relive Jesus' death upon that cross for our sins. Notice how true it is that these elements of the Lord's Supper are so very simple. If you translated it from the Greek, in the unleavened bread, it simply means to mix or to mingle together. Wherever Christians would meet, they could surely find for just a few little pennies the necessary elements in the observance of the Lord's Supper. Mingle with flour, with just the essential element of flour and water together, without any seasoning or yeast or any power that would cause the dough to rise up, and simply the fruit of the vine. I remember about 20 years ago, our senior class was off on the senior trip, and we were traveling somewhere between here and Washington. And as we were coming back on that bus, we were told that we would not stop for church. But some of us who were Christians in that senior class got on the back of that bus. We had the necessary elements which we had thought of in advance. We partook of that unleavened bread. We bowed our heads and partook of that fruit of the vine, and remembered the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord. Later on, We know that early Christians observed the Lord's Supper. One of the great examples of that is found in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. We find the Apostle Paul going to a place called Troas. And as he abides there, notice in the 7th verse of the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them ready to depart on the morrow." Now, there's been questions in the religious world today about when should the Lord's Supper be observed. Some teach that the Lord's Supper should be observed on an annual basis. Some observe the Lord's Supper on a quarterly basis. How many first day of the weeks do we have? Well, it's easy to tell. We have one in every week, don't we? Upon the first day of the week. Those Christians in the first century came together. They came for a purpose of breaking bread together. They came for studying God's Word together, of worshiping together. So it is necessary for us as a part of the body of Christ upon every first day of the week to come together and to meet together to remember Jesus' death for our sins. Now, it's tragic that here at a large congregation like Central that we have so many who fail to meet together, as they should, in faithful observance of the Lord's Supper, in a faithful attendance of worshiping God together. Right here at this point, let me tell you this. Whenever we come back tonight, I would hope and I would pray that every person in this audience would be back tonight. I want to tell you, I work just as hard on my sermons on Sunday night as I do Sunday morning. I believe that it will help to each one of us to come and be back tonight. We'll meet together. We'll worship God together. I believe every person can say this morning that it's been good to have been here. I believe that you'll be able to say that as well tonight. So notice here, at this landmark, Acts 20 and verse 7, they came together upon the first day of the week. They met together. They broke bread together. But let's go on in our study of God's Word this morning. There was a problem that arose over the observance of the Lord's Supper. And the problem is pointed out in the 11th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. Let me just explain before we read the Scriptures together what the problem might be. The problem was, in effect, that they were failing to observe the Lord's Supper in a proper way. This was exactly what was happening. They were coming together, and it had become just an old-fashioned dinner on the ground that everybody brought a little basket lunch. And at some point in time, they would open their basket lunch together, and one family would eat, and another family wouldn't have anything. And it got to the point where that some were actually becoming drunken. As they were partaking of the Lord's Supper. Now notice what Paul says to them in regard to this. "Now, in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating every one taketh before other of his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat in, or to drink in? or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Now notice what would happen to us today. If we came here with our little baskets all together, and one side had a whole lot, and another side over here didn't have anything, this side would go home well filled, but this side over here would go home hungry. They had lost the purpose of partaking of the Lord's Supper. Now, notice what Paul says to them. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come again. Now, as we observe the Lord's Supper as Christians, this is vital to every one of us. If I could put some words into your mind today, it would be these words. This do in remembrance of me. Now, it's very vital for us as Christians to remember these words. Because as we partake of the Lord's Supper, it may not be helpful to us, and it may bring damnation on us unless we fail to observe the Lord's Supper in a proper way. Now, the Catholic Church has a doctrine. The doctrine that they have came from the 16th century, the Council of Trent. The doctrine was transubstantiation. They believe that whenever a person partakes of the bread, it actually is the body of Christ. But that's not exactly right. That's incorrect. In that as we partake of the Lord's Supper, it represents to us the body which was broken for our sins upon the cross. That unleavened bread is symbolic to us as Christians as the body which Jesus gave upon the cross for our sins. Now, whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper, it is necessary for our minds to be back upon that cross. Brother Gus Nichols said this in a meeting here in town. He says, whenever I partake of the Lord's Supper, he says, I like to close my eyes and put everything else aside and remember and picture in my mind Jesus dying upon that cross for my sins. But also, not only is the Lord's Supper retrospective, it is prospective as well. In our meeting together today, we are showing that Jesus Christ is coming again. We are showing the Lord's death till he comes again. Now, the next part of our lesson, I want us to go into the stern warnings in regard of partaking the Lord's Supper. Now, this is important and vital to every one of us of how we partake of the Lord's Supper. Notice what the apostle says here. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now notice, if we come together today and we fail to partake of the Lord's Supper in a proper way, Then the Apostle Paul says, we are guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. It's paramount of putting Jesus back on the cross. We crucify Him again, and also we eat and drink damnation to our own souls. Now let's just put ourselves in a situation here. In a matter of partaking of the Lord's Supper. Suppose as the Lord's Supper is passed, we are thinking about, I wonder if I turned off the iron this morning. I wonder how long that preacher is going to preach this morning. I wonder if those beans are going to be burnt when I get back home. I wonder if we're going to have dinner on time. Now let me also tell you this. I have been in situations and congregations as the Lord's Supper was passed around where young people were there passing notes to each other. Now here's a stern warning. Whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper, we shouldn't let it pass by in a flighty manner, but we should do it with reverence, realizing here we're remembering the death of Jesus for our sins. Our minds must be in the proper place. We must be doing as Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. Let's go on a little further. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now here as Christians, one of the greatest privileges that we have is the body of Christ together. Is the meeting around this table, partaking of the unleavened bread. We break that bread off and remind ourselves that Jesus' body was broken for our sins. We partake of that cup, reminding ourselves of the blood that was shed for us upon the cross of Christ, that He died and gave Himself for us. And we remind ourselves that Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, is coming back again. As we partook of the Lord's Supper together today, I want to ask you, was your mind upon Christ? Were you thinking of Christ? Did you properly observe the Lord's Supper as you should? If we do this in a proper way, it makes us stronger in Christ. It helps us to bring us closer to Christ in doing His will. And so, therefore, it is necessary for all of us in the observance of the Lord's Supper to observe this memorial in a way and in a manner that is pleasing in God's sight. You've listened so well this morning. I'm so thankful that we've had this privilege of studying together today. I hope that as you leave here this morning, that each one may be able to say, it's been good to have been here. As you go home, you may be able to read from Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Again, read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And think as we should in observing the Lord's Supper in the proper way. At the close of each service, we offer a great invitation. An invitation that lets anyone who needs to obey the gospel that opportunity. There may be a young person, an old person, who is ready this morning to obey the gospel. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You believe that with every part of your being? Are you ready this morning to turn away from your sin and turn to Christ and follow after Him as the Lord and as the Master of your life? Are you ready to stand before this group of people who loves you and want you to be saved and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? This morning, are you ready to be buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins? Being buried in that watery grave for the remission of your sins, to be raised up to walk in newness of life. If you haven't done that, you need to do that very thing this morning, right now. If you've been unfaithful to the cause of Christ, if you haven't lived faithfully as a Christian, you need to repent of that. You need to come forward confessing the wrong that you have done, saying, I have sinned. Coming back to the cause of Christ, rededicating and recommitting your life, asking the prayers of the church unto Almighty God, you may be counted among the faithful. It's our privilege this morning, upon this beautiful first day of the week, to extend the Lord's invitation. Won't you accept it? Won't you obey it?